Hello and welcome everyone to the History of Things podcast. I'm your host, Mark. And today I thought we would go over the history of IMAX, the cameras and the theaters. It's one of my favorite places to go see a movie, and I'm sure many people feel the same way. So let's learn more about it, shall we? Stay tuned. So interestingly enough, the creation of IMAX all started when a small group of experimental filmmakers from Canada decided to put their heads together and produce a multi-screen film installation for Expo 67. So the idea behind this installation was to create the first huge screen, large screen experience. The filmmakers found that they could achieve this by syncing up 9 projectors together. So of course this created a huge challenge for them, but they eventually pulled it off. And with that came the question, is there a better way to do this? It was this question, coupled with their drive and determination, that one day formed the IMAX company we are all familiar with today. So it would take approximately 3 years for the team of filmmakers to come up with the IMAX technology. The epic domed screen and the camera itself were premiered at the Fuji Pavilion during Expo 70, which was in Osaka, Japan. The public introduction of IMAX initially targeted a specific niche or venue. Special theaters were designed and placed in museums, iconic commercial destinations, and some science centers. 1971 saw the first permanent installation of the IMAX projection system. It would be placed in the Cinesphere in Toronto, where it still remains in operation to this day. It plays a film about the history of the city of Toronto. The other locations would show films that were more conducive to the venues that the theaters were in. IMAX is never a stagnant company, with the productions of such films as like A Trip into Space, A Deep Dive Under the Sea, or even the Grand Canyon Exploration. Soon after came the new technology of the IMAX Dome and IMAX 3D. So I'd like to do a bit of a sidetrack here. I enjoy promoting honest, good, small businesses, and I wanted to take a few seconds here to promote something that I truly, truly believe in. If you live in British Columbia, Canada, specifically in the Lower Mainland, and you are in need of a mechanic, I have found the best mechanic I have ever seen. This guy, his name is Paul Carter. And he owns Paul Carter Automotive. They're on the corner of Mount Lehman and Fraser Highway in Abbotsford. I met Paul years ago when I was in charge of our fleet of vehicles for the company I was with, and I would be taking my vehicles to him to be repaired. There are plenty of times where Paul could have just taken our money and replaced things that didn't need to be replaced. But on multiple occasions, for example, this brake job, I could have sworn this car needed new brakes. I brought the car in, they give it back to me saying, no, you've got about 30%, 35% left on the front, let's wear them out before we spend any more money. I was working for a huge corporate conglomerate at the time, and it would have been nothing to them to pay for this brake job, but Paul decided, nope, we're going to get as much money out of these brake pads as we can. And he did that for me on several occasions. And this is also where I figured out just how brilliant of a mechanic Paul is. I often to this day call him on advice for different vehicles that I might be looking at buying. And it doesn't matter the year, doesn't matter the model, the make. Paul always knows something about that vehicle, and his advice has always been bang on. So please, if you are in need of a mechanic, and we all know the value of a good mechanic, check him out at paulcarterauto.com. And his phone number is 604-854-1775. You can tell him that his friend Mark sent you, and he'll take excellent care of you. Everyone that I have sent over to Paul has been incredibly impressed and keeps going back to him. He's got more than 100 five-star reviews on Google right now, which is something I don't ever recall seeing from anybody else. And he's won awards and things like that. You cannot beat his quality of service, and he stands by everything he does. So if you are in need of a good mechanic in the Lower Mainland area of British Columbia, check out paulcarterauto.com. 1994 was a big year for IMAX. The company went public that year, and in the same year, the company started to see potential for IMAX in Hollywood content. It makes sense, because if IMAX could make an amazing documentary, there's no reason why it couldn't make the same impression on live-action films. IMAX decided to get their feet wet by building a few theaters in multiplexes across North America. With this growth happening, the company soon found itself in a pickle. The issue was that two of the IMAX founders, Gran Ferguson and Roman Kreuter, were still the ones producing the majority of the films that were shown on the IMAX screens. Along with their small team of people, Ferguson and Kreuter couldn't make the number of films it would take to fill the available spots in all the multiplexes. And Hollywood wasn't going to make an IMAX movie until there were more theaters built. The solution to this problem was for IMAX to go back to the drawing board and create a new technology called DMR, Digital Remastering. It's a fancy name for the process of turning a Hollywood hit into an IMAX breathtaking blockbuster. DMR allowed IMAX to work with directors in a number of ways to enhance the movie. It could change the contrast, the brightness, the saturation, as well as many other variables in virtually every frame. IMAX could now take an amazing movie and turn it into an even more incredible IMAX film. According to the IMAX website, the very first movie to be transformed into an IMAX film was Apollo 13. It was an incredible, huge success, after which Hollywood's romance with IMAX continued to flourish. Today, IMAX has expanded all over the world. It has a new digital projection and sound system that, combined with a blockbuster film slate, that's helping IMAX to expand its networks into markets that are in North America, Japan, Western Europe, as well as China and Russia. Directors like James Cameron, Tim Burton, Christopher Nolan, and Michael Bay are now working alongside with IMAX. They're all working together to launch some amazing movies like Avatar, Alice in Wonderland, Transformers, and The Dark Knight Rises. I also found some pretty cool facts about IMAX. The 15 by 70 film frame used in the IMAX projection system is actually 10 times the size of the conventional 35 millimeter frame. And that film for IMAX is so strong, it's strong enough to pull a truck. The IMAX screen is usually 4,500 times bigger than the average TV screen. A two-dimensional IMAX camera weighs approximately 80 pounds. So that means if you're wanting to shoot wildlife and stuff like that, you can't just like grab that camera and start running along with whatever you're trying to shoot. The 3D camera is the size of a hotel mini bar fridge and weighs 265 pounds. The light from this 15,000 watt lamp in the IMAX projector is so bright that if we were on the moon, we could actually see that light with our naked eye. If we were to hold up a log in front of that light beam from the IMAX projector, it would instantly combust. Melbourne actually has the world's largest screen, spanning a massive 32 meters by 23 meters high. IMAX has more than 1,500 theaters now in more than 80 countries and territories across the globe. IMAX is not capable of playing back any more than 4K. The IMAX itself stands for Image Maximum. And last but not least, if you're thinking that you could start making your own IMAX movies, be prepared to shell out $16,000 a week for camera rental. And if you're one of those guys that has to own everything, you don't believe in rentals, then be prepared to shell out $500,000 for the IMAX camera itself. Pretty amazing facts, I must say. So this will wrap up this episode of the History of Things podcast. I, again, am your host, Mark. Thank you so much for checking this out. If you've made it this far and enjoyed it, please give the podcast a 5-star rating. It really helps to get my name out there and helps more people to learn that this podcast actually exists. There are other ways to support the podcast if you wish. You can check that out in the podcast notes. There's some information there for you to look at if you're interested. But thank you so much for your support. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll catch you guys on the next episode.